Last week you heard how Paul had occasion to take Peter to task, how Paul set off on another missionary journey, this time with Silvanus, joined later by Timothy, and how Luke the doctor came into the story. Today's episode tells of a vision Paul has, which changes his plans. How he meets and converts Lydia of Philippi, how Paul and Silvanus are imprisoned, then freed after an earthquake, and are on their way once more.
There, Paul. That should help you to sleep.
Smells very pleasant. Fragrant. What is it?
It's an infusion of local herbs I use for, well, cases like yours.
And what is my case? Does it have a name?
I can't say as yet, Paul. I need to observe you over a period of time.
Well, you'll be able to do that, all right, if you come with us. But tell me, are you serious about that? I mean, you'd leave your work, your patients, and tag along with this band of vagabonds.
Paul, it's so good to meet you. As a person, I mean, apart from your preaching. You know, you're quite formidable when you get going.
So they tell me. But that's the spirit working in me. The real Paul is only, well, you saw today, a weak vessel.
Yes, Paul. But a vessel filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you must rest. In the morning we'll talk about our future life together.
Night, Luke. Thank you.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing beseeching him to come across the sea and help the people there. Once he had seen this vision, Paul lost no time in arranging a passage to Macedonia, convinced that God had called him and the other disciples to bring the good news to the Macedonians. Sailing from Troas, they made a straight run for Samothrace, the next day for Neapolis, and from there for Philippi, a Roman colony and the principal city of that particular district of Macedonia. After a few days in this city, they went along the river outside the gates, as it was the Sabbath, and this was a customary place for prayer.
So there's no synagogue in Philippi?
No, there are so few Jews, you see. So on the Sabbath, everyone meets here, down by the river, for prayer, the ritual ablutions.
That's enough now, girls.
That lady must be quite important. Did you see the way those girls stopped playing around as soon as she spoke?
She's a woman of some standing, a seller of purple, I'm told, from Thyatira.
Oh, isn't that the place where they dye cloth?
Yes, and it's famous for its dyes. But what's happened to Paul and Silvanus?
Maybe Paul's sick again. He was very quiet last night at supper.
Paul will be all right, don't you worry. But he may have to put up with this condition, this weakness, as he calls it, for the rest of his life. It might be what we call chronic. I don't know.
Oh. And so you can't...
I'll do what I can, Timothy, never fear. I'll keep an eye on him. And whenever he needs
me... Hey, Timothy! Luke! Wait for us!
There you are.
I was getting worried.
We took a wrong turning. I couldn't remember once we got outside the walls whether we had to go left or right.
Shh, come on down here. They've already started.
Ah, well, let's join them. And then we can tell them the good news.
They sat down and preached to the women who had come to the meeting. One of these women was called Lydia, a devout woman from the town of Thyatira, who was in the purple dye trade. She listened to them, and the Lord opened her heart to accept what Paul was saying. After she and her household had been baptized, she sent them an invitation.
sirs, my mistress would like you to accept hospitality at her house.
That's very kind, but we already have a lodging, thank you. Please tell your mistress we greatly appreciate her offer all the same.
But she'll never... I mean, Mistress Lydia, she's very... I mean, she won't...
Won't take no for an answer, is that it?
Yes. Oh, that's it.
All right, I'll come over and talk to her.
Oh, will you? Oh, thank you.
And I myself work always to supply all our needs, so as not to be a burden to anyone.
You will not be a burden. You will be a guest, dear rabbi, you and your companions.
I am not a rabbi, madam. I am a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is my name.
Paul, then. I insist that you accept my hospitality.
But madam...
Lydia is my name.
Lydia.
Tell me, Paul, do you really consider me a true believer in the Lord?
Certainly I do.
Then come and stay with us, and I won't...
Take no for an answer.
One day, as they were going to prayer, they met a slave girl who was a soothsayer and made a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. This girl started following Paul and the rest of them and shouting,
"Here are the servants of the Most High God! They have come to tell you how to be saved!"
She did this every day afterwards, until Paul lost his temper one day and turned around and spoke to the Spirit.
"I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to leave that woman!"
The Spirit went out of her then and there. When her masters saw that there was no hope of making any more money out of her, they seized Paul and Silvanus and dragged them to the law courts in the marketplace, where they charged them before the magistrates.
"Quiet there, all of you. What's going on? Who are these men? What do you want?"
"We want to make a charge.
These men have ruined us.
Robbed us of our living."
"One at a time. Slowly, please."
"These two men."
"What people?"
"More than two. Two others."
"That's enough. Two will do for the moment. Oh, God preserve me. Go on, then. What have they done? They look harmless enough to me."
"That's what you think."
Yes,
you should have seen what they did to our girl."
"What? That's what it is it? They've been molesting women. I know their sort."
No. You don't understand."
"Well, if you'd explain properly, maybe I would. Now, first of all, who is this girl? And where is she anyway?"
"She's probably hiding with these fellows' companions. Just wait till I get over there."
"Are you going to tell me who she is or not? Never mind where she is for the moment."
"She's a soothsayer. Tells fortunes. You know."
"You mean she has a python spirit?"
"What's that?" "Don't show your ignorance." "Yes, my lord."
"You never heard of the serpent python of the ancient Delphic oracle?" "Of course not. You're ignorant men. Go on with your story. This girl of yours, how's..."
"Well, she's a slave girl, sir. You understand?
You make use of her, powers."
"That's it, sir. That's it, exactly."
"But since these men arrived with their Jewish practices..."
"Oh, they're Jews, are they? I thought they were a minority in Philippi. We've never had any trouble before, that I remember."
But these men are different. They've been causing a disturbance in the city, advocating practices which it is unlawful for us as Romans to follow."
"It is quite lawful. It is quite lawful for Jews to practice their religion as long as they do not proselytize Romans."
"What?
Preach to us, idiot." "No, my lord. No, that they did to our girl was to stop her prophesizing. I mean, what she's used to do. Telling the future. Helping people to plan their lives."
"And now she's lost her gift, and we've lost our living."
It's a wicked shame.
Robbing us.
And as the crowd joined in and showed its hostility to Paul and Silvanus, so the magistrates had them stripped and ordered them to be flogged. They were given many lashes and then thrown into prison, and the jailer was told to keep a close watch on them. So, following his instructions, he threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Late that night, Paul and Silvanus were praying and singing God's praises while the other prisoners listened. Suddenly, there was an earthquake that shook the prison to its foundations. All the doors flew open and the chains fell from all the prisoners.
Wait a moment. Think of the jailer. If he finds anyone missing, you know what he'll do.
When the jailer woke and saw the doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to commit suicide, presuming that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted at the top of his voice,
"Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here."
The jailer called for lights, then rushed in and threw himself trembling at the feet of Paul and Silvanus.
Oh, sirs! Oh, masters!
Calm yourself. Have no fear. All is well.
But tell me, I beg of you, what must I do to be saved?
Become a believer in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and your household too.
Oh, yes! Come then. Come, sirs.
Then they preached the word of the Lord to him and all his family. Late as it was, he took them to wash their wounds and was baptized then and there with all his household. Afterwards, he took them home and gave them a meal, and the whole family celebrated their conversion to belief in God. When it was daylight, the magistrates met in the marketplace. Remembering the earthquake that had taken place, they were afraid and sent the officers to say, "Release the men you arrested yesterday." The jailer reported the message to Paul.
The magistrates have sent an order for your release.
Oh, they changed their minds.
So you can go now and be on your way in peace.
What? They flog Roman citizens in public and without trial and throw them into prison and then think they can just push them out on the street? Oh, no. They must come and escort us out themselves.
Oh, so you are Roman citizens?
Yes, we tried to tell them yesterday when they were carrying us off, but with all the screaming and shouting, no one heard.
That's serious, though. When the magistrates are told that they flogged Roman citizens.
There are heavy penalties, isn't that so?
Oh, indeed. The Lex Porcia.
Well, you tell the officers what I said, my friend. We are not budging an inch from this place.
The officers reported this to the magistrates, who were horrified to hear the men were Roman citizens. They came with a number of friends to the prison to apologize.
You must understand, sirs, we did not realize.
We had no idea you were holy men.
If we had known what it was you wanted...
Such a thing would never have occurred.
In Philippi, never had a case of this sort.
Now, gentlemen, we must beg you to leave this town.
Yes, as soon as possible, before you're seen and recognised.
We don't want another mob gathering.
And so Paul said, "You'd better tell them we're not moving from here. They can come and get us."
But the earthquake, I never felt anything. Did you, Luke?
It was a divine earthquake, Timothy. The Lord's way of getting us out of another scrape. It was all over in a few minutes.
Yeah, but it was an earthquake, all right. The whole place shook. And you should have seen the other prisoners. Some of them were quaking with fright. And the others couldn't wait to get out when they saw their chains were loosed and the doors were all swinging open.
We never felt a thing here. Timothy and I were out of town with Lydia. As you know, she had a sick friend who'd heard about us and the good news and wanted to meet us. And I thought maybe I could be of some use. And, well, what time was it when we got back to Philippi?
Well after supper time. Uh-huh. The servants were in a state because they thought their mistress was down in the town and they'd heard about some riot and that a couple of Jews had been accused of beating up a woman. And, well, you can imagine the rest.
Lydia was really upset when she heard what they'd done to you. She was all ready to go down and protest to the authorities, but we thought it best she stay out of the way. They could make life difficult for her when we're no longer around.
But where is Lydia?
She was resting.
Yes, it's all right. You can leave it there at the door.
Yes, she is.
There you all are. I was beginning to think you'd gone without saying goodbye.
We wouldn't do that, Lydia. We came straight from the prison. We wanted to see you and your family and all the disciples and pray together once more.
Oh, yes. Let us celebrate the Lord's Supper together. It's so beautiful. But, oh, I'm forgetting I haven't even asked you how you are, both of you. Has Luke dressed your wounds?
It's a privilege to suffer for the Lord, Lydia. And we gained more disciples for him, didn't we, Silvanus?
Oh, we did indeed. The jailer and his family. But, Paul, these people, I mean, when we've gone, who will help them to...
To keep the faith? Mm. Well, Lydia, to start with. She's a proved disciple. But she won't be alone, will she, Luke?
You mean Luke's going to stay here?
For a time. We talked about it. Thought it might be a good idea.
To help Lydia strengthen the disciples in the faith, answer their questions, and pray with them.
And what about now, Paul? Before you leave, I mean.
Oh, yes. We must pray together. Break bread.
I'll send my girls immediately to assemble the household.
And so, Paul, where are we going next?
Yes. Where's it to be?
I thought maybe Thessalonica. Lydia was saying that she has a customer there, someone called Jason. Said we could look him up.
And may the Lord be with you and bring you once again to Philippi.
You have been listening to episode 14 of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Arthur Baum, Kenneth Belton, John Gayford, Jack Gillen, Maya Glickman, David Horton, Don Hodson, Anna Mazzotti, Adrian McCourt, Pat Stark and Veronica Wells. The sound engineer was Tommaso Palottino. The programme was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome.